Be unto his name forever. Welcome to 2023. Wow. Just yesterday, I had vivid memories of January 1st, 1970. Now, if I had you raise hands who was here, then it's not going to be a whole lot of hands. 53 years ago. I don't know why, I just had these flashbacks. My brother, my little sister, a few that were in the room that day are gone. Time is flying by, right? It's flying by. The sands of time are sinking. As one of our great hymns in our hymn book reads, "All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name." Amen. He changes not. He's the same forever. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. I've had the privilege of, I went back to find all my notes. This would be the 15th time, either right at the end of the year or the beginning of a year, to be able to speak. The other brothers probably need to push me out of the way and take that slot. I've had to kind of change my approach, and less reflecting particularly on the lives of the brethren, because we've become such a bigger body, but it's still precious to get to do this. Proverbs 10, I've never preached out of this text. It's not a New Year's text per se, but it certainly speaks to us about going on with Jesus Christ in the days ahead. It's absolutely covering or speaking in that broad sense, the ways of God's people as compared to those who are not his people. Proverbs 10, we're going to read four verses and then I'll pray. Verse 27 through verse 30. Depending on who you read, what other writers and thinkers, this is seen as one of those step back moments. Speaking of humanity, this is God's precious word. Let me read. "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth." Amen. May God abundantly bless his word. Let me pray. Father, as we've already prayed together, this day is yours. This year, whatever is ahead, in the heavens, in the earth, and in the kingdom of God, in your church, it is your perfect plan. And we want to be in the middle of it. We want to be with you. We want to go with you. We want to run with you. We want your great hand to be upon us. We want you to have mercy in our land. We want you to have mercy in family members. Lord, we want you to exalt your name. We want you to keep us. We need you. We love you because you first loved us. Let this precious few sentences, living and active, let these speak to all of us for your glory, for all of our good. In Jesus' name, amen. It's pretty safe to say that people throughout the world today are looking ahead to the new year. Not just in America, they're throughout the world. It's a very normal thing to do, New Year. People have their plans and they have their hopes and they have their goals for what they want to accomplish in 2023. It is very normal for people to do that. But in this reality or in this truth, there are two groups of people, two assemblies, or you want to call it categories of humanity. There are those who are Christians that are in Jesus Christ, that are alive in Him, and those that are non-Christians that do not have life, they are not spiritually alive, they're dead in their trespasses and sin. So there's two groups of people today reflecting, thinking on this new year. The Christians, how will they view this? How will they see today, the new year? They know that God is with them. They know that He will guide them. and that their ways and that their steps are His. Their life is not their own. They know this. Simply put, they are Christ-centered in their view of what's ahead this whole year. Christ is the central one. That's how they live. If you're a Christian here today, let this stir you to this reality for how you're looking to the new year. The second group are the non-Christians, which includes any group, agnostics, atheists, any religion, any other part of humanity that's not in Jesus Christ. They have their plans and their interests and their aspirations for the year. Emphasis on theirs, right? Me. They are man-centered in their view of 2023, and it will not go well for them, according to the Scriptures. So we have these two groups. And in these four verses here in Proverbs, he's contrasting. God is giving us, through this writer, he's giving us this contrast between these two groups. It's profoundly helpful or impactful as we begin a new year. Because we're at this pause point. We look back, but we look ahead. And it's good for us to look ahead. And so he's contrasting the way of the righteous versus the way of the ungodly. And what lies ahead? What has God decreed? What is his general statement about these two groups of people? It's a powerful text, actually. Very powerful. Brethren, I want you to hear me. God is giving sweeping truths. These should shape you, permeate your thinking, your prayers, your expectations for this year. They're magnificent, these sweeping views. They're magnificent in their clarity, their pointedness, and that the absolute certainty that these things do and will be happening, as God has said. And we see four themes. I'll try to move quickly. There are four themes. There's four verses and four themes of this contrast. First, prolonged days. Jay's mother, 100 this week? Prolonged days versus shortened days. Second, hope and gladness versus dashed expectations. Expectations that are just wiped away. Third, strength promised. Strength promised versus certain destruction, decline and destruction. And fourth, stable days. Stable days versus those days that are passing away, that don't last. Powerful, very powerful. So where are you? Where are you? How are you thinking? Is Jesus Christ central to your hopes and plans for 2023? He should be. He is to have the preeminence in all things. Whether we eat or drink, we do all to the glory of God. So let me just hit these four areas. Let's let God's word here speak to us and help us and purify our views and our hopes for the year. First, prolonged days versus shortened days. Now, you know, beloved, this theme is throughout the Bible. It's an amazing theme. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The second part of this, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Shall be shortened. Wow. What a statement. These are proclamations or declarations by the one great God. These are not debatable. They're not like these are suggestions or fresh ideas to maybe try. This is what God has been doing through all the centuries of old. And that's what he does today. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. I love this statement by Matthew Henry. Christianity lengthens men's lives and crowns their hopes. You want good days? You want your hopes crowned? Well, I do. Christianity, being in Christ Jesus, you're probably thinking, and I'll express this here in a second, does that mean you live long into your aged, you know, extended life? Perhaps. But that's not all it's promising. It's way, way more than this, just the thought of having more years in the earth. Now look at this first phrase, the fear of the Lord. We dealt with this theme a lot when Jeff was going through Ecclesiastes. The fear of the Lord, it's one of these great themes in the Bible. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, says in the ESV, prolongs life. This fear of God. Now, we just want to pause for a second on that. What is this fear of God? It's a reverence. It's an absolute acknowledgement that He is, that He's great, as we saw in Psalm 46 this last week. Behold, or be still, and know that I am God. That it's this reverence, it's a fear, it's a standing, in, living in awe of the one great God who is. That it's His earth, that it's His days, that it's His kingdoms, that it's His rulership in all the earth. To fear God, to fear the Lord, prolongeth days. The man, the woman, the young person who fears God, who esteems Him, holds Him in such high regard, will have length of days and fullness here. Length of days. Think about that. You're young people, you young ones. We look at you and I just think your whole life is before you. Do you want length of days? Do you want length of days with God? That's the real question. Not just to live out for your own purposes, but for the glory of God. God is promising something. He's saying something here. The fear, those who fear Him and walk in His ways, He extends their days, His hands upon them. That's what He's saying here. They have fullness. They have God with them. We just read the patriarchs, and they would live in advanced years, and God was with them. Incredible truths that come out of this theme of being in God or having Him with you, walking in reverence, in living your days with fullness. However long that is. However long. I mean, 53 years ago, as I talked about yesterday, and then as I ended last night with my dad by myself, I put my hand, I read to him Psalm 46, and I put my hand on his hand, and I prayed with my dad, as we both felt our very real frailty. But I was able to say, Lord, our days, here I am with a very elderly dad and me, an aging man, and I'm saying, Lord, our days have been in your hands. It was just awesome right there in that room, and God was saying, I'm with you, because He's with His people, those that fear Him. It's an absolute certainty He's with His people, and He gives fullness. David said this very thing in Psalm 31. Oh, how great is thy goodness. What's the next part of this? Which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Goodness, His mercies, His loving kindness. Read to us Psalm 23 today. I thought, what a wonderful passage to read just in and of itself. But how it connects to this theme today. Prolonging, extending days, giving life, giving fullness, giving fruit to the glory of God. That's the thrust here. Phenomenal. Those that fear Him. But let me go back. Let's be clear. It's not guaranteeing that every Christian lives to be 90 or 100 or more. That's a false conclusion that every Christian lives that long. It's a general statement about God's people will be prolonged or extended for His name's sake. Otherwise, why did Jim Elliot die young, right? Why did David Brainerd die young? Why did others that we know, why do people that you love this last month or this last year die? Baker's mom got length of days. Others, their days are shortened. But the truth is God is with those that fear Him and He extends their days for His name's sake. It's an awesome reality. It's God's plan. I don't know how much more time I have. I've told you this before. My kids don't really like to hear me talk about my death. And I do talk about it. Krista and I talk about it. But they're not ready to let me go. But my days are His days. Your days are His days. Whatever He has, let Him glorify His name in you. We have this picture, prolonged days. Psalm 1, one of your favorites. And He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You read that to us one more time. I'm going to quote it exactly. This awesome promise, those that walk with God, that meditate in Him, in His Word, in His truth, and they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth His fruit in His season. Big, majestic trees. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. You hear that? Length of days, big, fruitful trees in the earth, with God being exalted in their life. Just tremendous. But look at the contrast. What's the contrast? This length of days, this promise to God to be with His people, give them life, give them fullness, give them purpose for all that they're about. But look at the contrast. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Wow. If somebody happened to just come here thinking there was a different event today, and all of a sudden they come through the building and they sit down and think, well, I don't know who these people are, but I'm going to sit in the back of the room. Maybe it's a potential young faculty member that's going to come on board here, living to themselves, walking in their own ways, promoting their own ideology, without God and without hope in this world, sitting in the back of this room. Can you imagine? And all of a sudden they hear this phrase, from God's word, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. That's what it's saying. It would be speaking to that person or anybody else in this room or anybody else, they would hear this truth. If you're not with God, if you're not in Him, your days are very perilous. They're very unpredictable. You don't know what's ahead. You have no confidence. And you spend your days in vanity. It's a very profound truth. Plainly said from the text, they're cut short. They're cut short. They're snuffed out. Their days are ended because they don't know the living God and the mercies of God are not upon them, and they've lived into themselves. They've rejected the one great God and Savior, and now their days have been shortened. I nearly broke down yesterday just thinking. There was a boyhood friend that I had here in this community 50 plus years ago. Grew up in essentially in the same neighborhood area, and we interacted, we had other friends, and when, you know, by the time we get to high school, I'm going one way, he's going another. He's not a believer. By God's mercy, he had my life. And my friend never made it out of high school because he went the way of darkness. He got into all kinds of evil in his ways, in his path was the path of wickedness. And in God's infinite wisdom, that friend's life was cut short. It's not just a theory, young people. It's not just a theory. It's not just a concept. It's real. You young people, you feel like you have your whole life before you. It's nothing if you don't go with Jesus Christ. You'll spend your days in vanity. God help you. David said this about when wicked men think they're going to live long lives, do all their great exploits. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Wow. That's David declaring what men around him were going to face. What has changed? Weekly, you see headlines of people that's it. 32 years old, 26 years old, 41 years old, actors, singers, people that live in the world and walk in the way of wickedness, and it's over. It's over. Yes, saints, first, loving and fearing God, walking with Him, living unto Him, has a promise to prolong and to bless your days. Man, what a promise. What a promise. Second, hope and gladness as compared or versus dashed expectations. Go back to verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. By the way, this was probably my favorite piece of all of this. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Woo. I'd like to say, all right, that's it. 2 more hours. We're going to stay on there. We're going to go around the room and talk about this one. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Like I said, it's so clear, it's so direct, it's so certain when God declares His ways with people. What a truth. Do you like having what you hope for? I mean, people that just kind of have hope for a maybe, they live with no sense of confidence, no sense of that anything's really going to happen, or they're overconfident that they can make it happen. But the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Another one of the translations says, their hopes result in joy. The things you hope for, if God has shaped them and if He's leading them, the things that you hope for are going to lead to joy. I don't know when, I don't know how. Y'all were sharing some of this 15 minutes ago. The hopes of the righteous shall be gladness. Man, everybody that has any sense of clear thinking wants something that'll bring gladness. I mean, it's just in our humanity. That's why they chase all kinds of evil. They think they get gladness in drugs or power or money or flesh or whatever it is, winning a college championship. Whoop-dee-doo on winning a college championship. I'd rather have Jesus in anything this world affords today, right? I mean, we have the greatest treasure of all. This is what God is saying, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. You want gladness? Then go with God. Matthew Henry also said this thing about our gladness, that when we have it, it will be to our unspeakable satisfaction. He just had wonderful ways of saying things. Page after page after page. Wonderful. Meaning our hopes will, in God's time and purpose, be fulfilled. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We believe that God will do it. And He loves to do it. He loves to do it. This, I'm not promoting, y'all know me, you know this church, I'm not promoting a name it and claim it heresy. It's not what we're talking about. Need a new pickup truck? Go ask God. Get a pickup truck this week. That lie and that blasphemy has been happening for decades and centuries in the name of the gospel. We're talking about hope and what God's going to accomplish for His namesake, and we get to be part of it. That's what we're talking about. Not our wish list, not our Santa Claus list to God, not that. And there are heretics that are doing that today, in pulpits today, just reminding us. We're talking about what God's going to do in 2023 that He's going to do for His namesake and for good in multiple ways that'll bring joy. You can have hope that He's going to bring it to pass. There's no way that Jason can stand and say, I look forward to what's ahead in 2023 if he didn't believe God is good. You just can't, what He's been through. How can you say that? Because God is the great one. He's the orchestrator, the ruler in all the events. And His Son is the King of glory, and His Son reigns in all the events. And He's with us right here. This thing of having hope in what's ahead. I spent a little bit of time enjoying looking at that word, this thing about bringing gladness. It means glee. We don't use the word glee very often. Fullness of joy or rejoicing. Hopes that lead to something that you rejoice in. This is how God ministers to His people. We see these victories, these tough events in the Old Testament, and then they end with these triumphant events. The Red Sea closes, and the greatest army in the world is washed around in the water. No wonder Miriam and them grabbed tambourines and all and started singing and dancing. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. Remember the kids in that church years ago, Mac and Linda? That was their favorite song, the little kids. I hope some of those kids that are 40 or 50 or whatever they are now are singing it. That's the songs of God. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. You have those moments in your life. We all do. God's with us. He's with His people. Wow, and He brings fullness of joy. Notice the contrast. It wouldn't be fair to the Scriptures if we didn't compare what God is telling us. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Wow, once again, the hypothetical professor back of the room listening, his expectations will perish. It might be this week, it might be 5 years, it might be 10 years, who knows when. But whatever he's up to in his plan, God's going to snuff it out. That's just the truth. The wickedness of men not only shortens their days, which we saw in verse 27, it frustrates their hopes. I see this with people. You do too. Maybe the people you work around or other extended relationships. You see people, they have these big plans and God has nothing to do with it. And it just doesn't happen. It doesn't fulfill. They've planned in their own futility. They've planned something and they can't accomplish it. But there's no fear or acknowledgement of God. They are frustrated. It's what God's, and they perish. I've known men who envision remarkable things, who've said they're going to do this, and they never obtained it. As one of the other translations reads, their ambitions come to nothing. Children, don't set your heart on wealth or other things like that. You may see it fly away, like the Scripture says. Be careful. The great treasure, the great one, is Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives hope and joy and rejoicing. You set your expectation, as the the language of the text, your expectation or what you think is going to happen, you set it on other things and it'll perish, it'll fly away. They will come tumbling down today, right now. Men and their ambitions will begin to unravel just today in this week. They say things like this, Psalms 10, verse 6, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. That's what wicked men say. I'm not going to be moved. I shall never be in adversity. Really. They say it. They actually say it sometimes, mocking God. Be careful. But 10 verses later in the same psalm, listen to what it says. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Wow. There it is. Absolute clarity, absolute directness. Those who go with him have hopes that come to rejoicing and joy. Those that don't, it's dashed, it's pushed aside, it comes tumbling down, and they perish out of the land. Meaning they don't have any blessing in it. It is a vain effort on their part. And yes, I acknowledge there's people who accumulate things and accomplish things per se, and they feel like it looks like they're getting it all. Just read Psalm 73 today. See what Asaph says, right? It comes crashing down. Saints, let your hopes in this new year be in God, and He will bring gladness, rejoicing, songs, praises, testimonies, laughter, holy, God-honoring laughter unto our great God. Number three, strength promised versus certain destruction or decline. Verse 29, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Strength. I like this. He's comparing strengthening. It's a stronghold, right? Brethren, that's what the ESV says? He's a stronghold. He's a strengthening. He's building up. So there's a picture here. The King James uses the word strength as compared to something that's decaying or going down or just failing. One bridge that stands, another that's crumbling. Pictures you could put in your mind. Strength is promised to God's people. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Strength versus the absolute opposite. I love this phrase. It's a powerful phrase, the way of the Lord. Now this is what God's doing. The ways of the Almighty. His plans, His purposes, His tapestry. His fulfilling His decrees from of old today and in the years to come. He would have known 53 years ago that I would be an older man with an older man with my hand on him reading His word 53 years later. Think about that. God would give strength. He would give both of us strength to sit there in our right mind and give God glory. It's all of His mercy. All of His mercy. Nobody finds Him on their own. He's the one that saves them. He's the one that gives them a new heart. And He's the one that gives strength day by day and every passing hour. It's His strength, His help. The way of the Lord. What comes to your mind when you hear that? If the way of the Lord gives strength, what is He telling us? This is dealing with His providence and His care for us. Somebody might say to a young person, what's the ways of your dad? Oh, well, my dad's about this. And what are the ways of your dad with you? And they'd say, well, this is what my dad does. And he tells me this, and he helps me in this, and he guards me of this. And you see something in the language? The ways of the Lord is strength. He's a stronghold to the upright or to the godly, to the Christian. That's what it means. It's His true providential love and care for you and I. He's our strengthening because He's at work. Honestly, beloved, when I was young, growing up, I had the wrong view. God was more passive. He put this glorious gospel out there and said, well, we'll just see who takes it. That is an absolute incorrect view of the living God according to Scripture. He's accomplishing His perfect work. He's active. He gives strength. He brings people into this marvelous gospel. He doesn't just wait. He moves. His Spirit moves. And therefore, He's continuing to move in us. He is our strength. He's our stronghold. That's His ways. This is the way He works. This is part of His character and His majestic plan in all the earth. When we read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, we read about Joseph and Moses, we go to Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel. Their lives are about the ways of God. You with me? That's what it's about. That we've got to get our thinking right. A God-centered view of 2023, not man-centered. Everything around us is man-centered. This and the truths of God are always God-centered. That's the place of prolonged days. That's the place of gladness. That's the place of being strengthened. I love this phrase. The way of the Lord is strength, His care. That means that He lifts us. He renews us. He strengthens us in daily life. You see those active verbs, what He's doing? The Lord Jesus Christ, can you imagine with Him, those with His men, through those months and those 3 years, and Him ministering and talking to them and strengthening them and washing them with truth and warning them? He was strengthening their hands in the gospel that He was imparting to bringing them into and giving them. He goes to glory, and those 11 men turn the world upside down. Paul is added in. You see, he's going to accomplish His great work. He's going to give strength to His people. The more we go in His way, the more our hearts are strengthened. When we're not in His way, when we're not in His word, when we're not in obedience, the Christian would say it becomes miserable. I feel alone. I feel cut off. That's a part of the warning here. You need to be strengthened when you need to be in the ways of God. Whatever He's going in, that's the flow you want to be in. If you're rejecting it or going your own way, no wonder you feel like, I'm not sure where I am with God right now. Well, that's a good question. Are you in His ways? Are you being strengthened by Him? Or are you out on the fringe doing something else? It's a real truth that we have to remember. If you go in His ways, or your life is surrendered to His ways, you will be strengthened. Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength? I thought it was in the stock market. Man, I hardly wait for that thing to open on Monday or Tuesday. I'm barely going to make things happen this year. Be careful. I got big plans. I've got big plans for my physical man. I'm going to do awesome things. Be careful. Be careful. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. The book of James warns us, don't be boasting what you're going to do if God wills. If God wills, we're going to gather Wednesday night for prayer, first prayer meeting of the new year. But He'll strengthen us in the ways that He is working. Look at the contrast. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The word destruction could be ruin. What is it again in the ESV? I didn't make a note. What is it? But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. How does it translate that word? Evildoers. I'm sorry. But destruction, that's the word. Is that it? Okay. But evildoers shall be, okay. It's their ways and their end that He's talking about. Right now, I've already said this, but right now, as I speak, there are men in our country and around the world, and women, and people in the entertainment world or sports world, there are men scheming and planning their big events, and they're evil, and their fleshly things, and how they're going to cheat people. They're going to accomplish things. Their armies are going to be used. Their bioweapons are going to be used. Whatever they're going to use. Oh, it's out there. And they're going to plan and scheme all their plans, and it will lead them in the end to certain ruin. That's just how God works. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Doesn't matter if they're on this campus or anywhere else in the world. Doesn't matter if they're in our Congress and they're fools there. We know that. And may God have mercy like He did on us. I'm not here to pass condemnation. I'm here to be honest that men are evil and it's going to catch up to them. They're going to have their own funerals. Oh, so-and-so is going to get snuffed out in the month of January. Because destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. It's a proclamation. It's a guarantee. God's judgment will root them out, as Asaph said. And I referenced Asaph, Psalm 73. How are they brought into destruction? Oh, it'll take a lot of time. As in a moment. When it's over, it's over. And you hear of things, and sometimes you're gripped by it. Probably more often now than ever in my life, I get told so-and-so died. so-and-so passed. And oftentimes I hear it about men that they never knew or they never surrendered to the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. They rejected it, said, I'm going to do it my way. And I'll get word even to these days. That's it. It's over. Suddenly, as Asaph said, as in a moment. Do you want ongoing strength? Do you need strength this year? Two hands up, right? Do you need strength? I need strength. Well, our God gives it. If we're in His ways, He gives strength. Be in His ways. Surrender yourself to the ways of God, in His truth, in His people, in His great work in us. We do need each other. Yes, as somebody prayed earlier. And fourthly, verse 30. Stable days versus nothing that lasts. Verse 30 says, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The righteous shall never be removed. Also translated, I think, in New American, never be shaken. Beloved, God, our great God and our great Savior, Jesus Christ, and the reality of the Holy Spirit with us, gives us an absolute certain foundation. This thing about shall never be removed. I'm not worried about where your real estate is right now. I don't care, but that's not what we're talking about. Where you're anchored, what is your footing on? The righteous shall not be shaken. Do they have hard things? Yes, but they have a sure foundation. Jesus Christ is their rock. God's presence is their strength. The Holy Spirit in them is their joy and their help. It's real. We have a sure foundation, an anchor for the soul. Man, say that out loud in a corporate meeting in the month of January and see how men respond. I tell you what, men, I've got an anchor for my soul in this new year. You might have people look at, really? Tell me more. Jesus Christ, who changes not. That's what they need to hear. I mean, 2 weeks ago when we watched, some of us as men, we watched that bio history piece on Billy Graham. You couldn't help but just admire the clarity of who he was speaking to, men from all over the world, of Jesus Christ, the preeminence of Jesus Christ. It was very stirring, very, very stirring. And as he said, if you hear one day that I've died, don't believe it. I'll be more alive than I've ever been. It's truth. Men in corporate offices need to hear that. Men in locker rooms need to hear it. Men in drug rehab houses need to hear it, because we were just like them. Without hope and without God. And He had mercy on us. Stable days come from Him. The righteous shall never be removed. They're not going to be shaken around. They're not going to be taken all over the place. He gives true peace and joy. True peace and joy, even in the midst of hard things. Things that you go through. He gives stability. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Psalm 46:1, we talked about it just this week. Children, you need a very present help. You need Jesus Christ today, tomorrow, the rest of your days. You need Him with you. You don't want to be moved. People in our society and people all over the world are moved all over the place with cultural fads and social movements. They're moved all over the place. Maybe one piece of new music comes out and it shapes people's ideology. One song? Really? Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr and you guys? John Lennon? You're gonna create a few songs? You're going to change a whole ideology of a generation? It's darn near that clear, saints. Don't think it's just stuff. It shapes the way people think. The righteous, in this case, is God saying, they're not moved. They plant their feet on the firm foundation because this is telling them what is certain. My little nephew years ago just looked at me across the back seat and said, Uncle Philip, you sure like the Bible. I looked at him in the rearview mirror and I said, yeah, Trav, I do. And now he's 34 years old. And he knows Uncle Philip still loves the Bible. I don't want to be moved. He that heareth my words and doeth them is like a wise man that built his house on the rock. I took classes here 40 years ago. I understand what it's like to be in the classroom. They're not talking about anything stable. Just being honest. You see news pieces and you hear politicians speak, and they're not speaking about things that are stable, because stability comes from the one great God and Savior and His proclamations, which change not. We plant our lives here. He says about His people, they won't be removed. Psalm 125, one of my favorites. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Awesome truth. You hear that? It's about God with His people. None of us have any of that power to do that for ourselves. Nobody can keep a church together. We have too many problems with each other. That's just an honest statement. God does it. And He doesn't just partially do it. He does it abundantly. His kingdom marches on. His people, His ways, it cannot be removed, because God's it. He's the author and finisher of it. This year will have trials and struggles and hurts, but your life will be kept by the power of God, because there's a sure foundation with Jesus Christ. Verse 2 of that same psalm, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide it forever. Who remembers it? As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, henceforth, even forever. That sounds pretty certain to me. I don't hear anybody in the stock market talking that way. I didn't have any coaches that talked to me that way. I didn't have any faculty members that talked to me that way. Didn't have anybody else in society that talks to me that way. God speaks that for those who put their trust in Him. Oh, yes, what truth for us. But briefly, the contrast. Not being moved, but being stable as compared to the second part. But the wicked shall not inhabit the earth, or meaning they won't dwell in the land. Now, there's language here. There's metaphors and pictures here about the people of Israel, Canaan, right? The promised land. We're in it. The Christians are in it. We're in the gathered assembly unto God. But this picture, not dwell, they don't get to stay in the land. They get removed. Wow. Though they plan to lay up treasures, and they plan to have a happy life and a free life and a self-indulgent life, God says it will fade away. They're not going to dwell in the land. They don't have stable footing. This ought to bring absolute fear to anybody that was to hear this or read this that doesn't know the living God. Any Muslim or any Buddhist or any atheist should hear this and go, that God is the one great God. He's the true one. Yes, that's right. Everything that you have is fading away. It's going to be crushed. You're going to be in your days in death, in eternal damnation. You won't dwell in the land. They won't dwell in the land here, and they won't dwell in the kingdom of God in the kingdom to come. No matter what they say at funerals about the ungodly, they will not be in the gathering of God's people. They will not. Even though they have laid up their treasures or what they think is their security, God says it will fade away. Their pride, their plans, all that they hope to accomplish will be cut down forever. But us, those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we have hope. We, of all men, we have real hope. I mean, a certain hope. I'm going to pillow my head tonight because I have great hope and confidence that God changes not. I may be struggling with other areas, and I, in my own frailty like you feel, there may be things that I'm battling, but I know this much, He changes not. Saints, commit your hopes and dreams to God in this new year. He will prolong your days. He will give fullness. Second, He will give hope and gladness, that the things that you hope for, that you look to Him for, He will fulfill them. It'll bring joy and rejoicing. He will be honored and you will be strengthened. He will give strength. He will be your stronghold. He'll be your absolute place of refuge in all things. He'll give strength for the journey. And He will give stable days. Your footing, what you're building your life on, is absolutely certain. Jesus Christ, the sure foundation, right? No other foundation can any man lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Live for Him. Go in His ways. God help us. Lead us. Blessed Savior, let me pray. Father, we need You, and we ask You to make these truths more and more real and alive in our life. Fear and fullness, this truth of our hopes bringing joy and praise to God and gladness. Lord, these realities of extended years or days and our actions, our activity being strengthened for the journey. Do it, Lord, for your people. And that our footing, our anchor, our sure foundation would not be moved. Keep us, Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.